Here we go. Building his video cast and podcast for the week ending May 13th, 2018, episode 266. And if you don't know by now, today is Mother's Day. So a special shout out to all the mothers out there. And remember to call your mom or give your wife a present. But hey, the guy that is the best giving the gifts, the all-time dad of all times, and is my co-host and yours, the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Kenny Smyers, control man from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Kenny, welcome to the show, Big Dog.
Well, thank you very much, Eric, and I appreciate the reminder of Mother's Day. It's a fond day in our lives because I'm from a family of 11, and we had a mother that went through pure hell. Raising seven boys and four girls. Now, I know there's bigger families out there, but I tell you what, we had...
But they weren't Smyers.
Yeah. around Pittsburgh here, they got the one Smyers rule. You can only have one Smyers at a party at a time or a golf outing or whatever because...
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. That's kind of a joke, but that came from the old days.
Before Moore's Law, there were Smyers Law, right?
my wife, Rita's... she's very happy. The daughters, Sabrina and Stephanie, both... said happy Mother's Day, sent cards, and we're going to have a thing with Stephanie here later on. It's really nice. And the older I get, the more I appreciate my mother. And even though she's gone, she passed away a while ago, it's a sad, but fond memory.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, you never forget your mom's, and I miss mine too. God rest her soul. And,
right.
We keep on going on, but I mean, that's what days like Mother's Day are about, to remember our moms. And hey, because without moms, nothing happens.
That's for sure. There's no chicken and egg story here,
So, buddy, I tell you what, I had a great experience the other night. I went for the first time with my daughter's boyfriend, AJ. So, shout out to AJ, and thank you so much for this invitation. He took me to see Atlanta United play soccer at the new Mercedes-Benz Dome. And I tell you what, soccer is the sport in Atlanta. Sold out. Every game sold out. Everybody's on their feet. It's the most exciting atmosphere ever, and it was a great experience. But I think there's a lesson to be learned here, okay? So I want to lead up to it with a little story. So I was asking AJ about Atlanta and what they did differently than everybody else and why their stadium is so packed. So most U.S. soccer teams, they sign on aging European stars or stars that are like on their last leg or whatever, and they'll pay them big bucks to come over here and they play. What Arthur Blank, the owner of Atlanta United, did, Kenny, he wanted to know who the best manager, the best coach was. And there's a guy named Tata Martinez, I think is his last name. He was famous in Europe, won all kinds of World Cups and stuff like that. He was kind of fed up with the media in Europe, so Arthur Blank was able to lure him to Atlanta. Okay, so the brilliance of this was all the young players that want to make the Premier League want to come and play in Atlanta so they can play for this guy and learn from him. So Atlanta's got a very young team, and I guess the moral of the story is Arthur Blank thought, the owner of the Atlanta United, thought differently. He got really good management, so the best of the old, and all their players are super young and they're up and comers.
Nice.
Sort of parallels to maybe us and our millennials that are coming into the business, maybe.
Yeah, no doubt we're attracting the best talent, and they're coming into the Control Trends arena, and they're learning from all these incredible veterans and masterminds and master systems integrators and the leaders of the industry, from Ed Merwin to Mike Marston to Fearless Phil Zito.
And I think that the story here is, and we hear a lot about sort of similar things in professional football, where you'll get a young quarterback that gets drafted. And sometimes the veterans on the team, they'll take that young quarterback under their arm and they'll help them, they'll mentor them. And then other times they do everything they can to mess them up because they feel threatened by him. And I think, so after this weekend, I think there's a place for old guys like me and you. So I'm feeling renewed. So, hey, if any young guys out there want to, or girls want to be mentored, Kenny's available.
But listen, Atlanta just keeps going on the rise here. First of all, don't try to pretend that the Atlanta Falcons didn't just pay $100 million to your quarterback, Mr. Ryan, now the richest man in football, or most highly paid until Aaron Rodgers signs, of course.
Right.
And who else is up there? I think the guy from San Diego, where they moved now, so it's Los Angeles. Rivers or somebody is up too. So we'll see how high the ceiling goes. But and then you guys, the Atlanta Braves are in first place in baseball.
Well, but I want to go back, sort of staying with the same analogy. See, I think professional football is kind of like the status quo, using an analogy. So what they're doing is they're paying players more and more money. They're not really changing the game up where it's creating more value. As a matter of fact, they're creating controversy. So, you know, the league is losing its luster. And not that NFL will ever go out of business, but they're not on the uptrend like this soccer thing. There's even professional basketball. So I think it's a great analogy because, again, you know, paying guys like Matt Ryan, and of course it's the system. It's like the way the system's set up, Kenny. It's probably Matt Ryan probably doesn't care whether he's making 150 or 100. 100 is probably enough. But his agent's basically saying, hey, you know, I get a percentage of this. I'm not doing my job if I don't get you more money. So it's kind of a zero-sum game. And so at the end of it, somebody's got to pay, and somebody's got to be perceived to win, and somebody's got to be perceived to lose.
Well, as we mentioned previously, the negotiations that go on, you know, are frightful. The numbers are so high, $1 billion here or there, but you know, the responsibility of the guy from NFL that negotiates contracts with the Fox and CBS and NBC Sports, and their job is to drive that highest number they can, and then the percentage of this has to go to the players, you know, based on the agreement, the players' union agreement with the owners. So the owners have to give the players that much money, and then they have to pay that much money out. So it's going to go somewhere. And you know what? I was reading something interesting. Is while the NFL lost some favor and luster here in the United States, don't forget that's an export product, and it's increasing its market in Western Europe and Southeast Asia. I mean, people love football around the world. So it's
No, completely agree with that, Kenny. I completely agree. But my point being, all this thing, these things, they're not creating value for the user, the consumer.
I agree.
So that's it. I mean, so the focus is on the money. It's not on creating value. And I think that's the lesson to be learned, you know?
Well, in soccer, too, I lived in Europe 9 years. I'll tell you, soccer's a hell of a sport. I enjoy it. I tried playing it when I was a little older. Of course, you are an infamous goalie from, you know, setting records down there in Southeast Conference there. But we won't have – but, yeah. You know – the thing about it is you're right. The value part is so important because that's where we're going to come back to in the show. It's all about creating value because once everybody has something, once people offer, you know, fairly equitable services or equal services and they all bring the same features and benefits, where do you differentiate? What's the calling card that makes you different from somebody else?
Well, I think you're right, but I think the way this soccer is structured, there's such passion in the game, right? You know, anyway, we could go on about that, but I think you're right. I think that, you know, that might be the theme of the show, but sort of along those lines, you and I were out in Huntington Beach last week, and we were at Controls Group North America, and that's a group of the top distributors. Your company and my company are both members of it that are struggling to find ways to create more value and sort of reinvent or change the game. So sure. Talk a bit about what's your take on Controls Group North America meeting was last week.
I was very impressed. I thought the location was as good as pretty and as wonderful as you're going to get. You know, Huntington Beach, California. The weather cooperated, and even though it was supposed to be gray May or May gray, whatever it is out in California for the month of May, we had sensational weather. And you and I got to walk along one of the prettiest beaches in the country or in the world, maybe. I mean, it's just the California attitude was there. We got to see 46 of the top distributors in the country, all North America. I keep correcting myself. Our relatives from the north, from Canada, our great distributors from there are really good, top-notch distributors. So I have to keep including North America, not United States. And one day I'm sure we're going to have somebody from Mexico because the distribution channel is an amazing business unit, and to see it evolve, we got to see the 35-year review, basically, of an organization that began in 1983, I believe, and it was called MG Inc. at the time, and it was 12 distributors, and they had to come together because nationally they were getting cooked by these major players, all the big supply companies, and that was Grainger's big move too. So in order to get leverage, the distributors had to come together, the like-minded distributors had to come together and show purchasing power and show different things to, you know, different vendors and manufacturers that, hey, we're very important too, and the more you help this channel succeed, the more you will succeed, because the name of the game is to get the product down locally, get it supported, get it stocked, and having people having the ability to support it, train on it, and have expertise locally. So it's a two-step concept, and it was really fun to watch. It was called Synergies and Opportunities, and you know, one of the top word we kept hearing again and again was evolution. How we've seen the industry itself evolve, we've seen how distribution, each distributor evolved over time. It was amazing to see those pictures and see the handwritten notes and the typed correspondence that went around, and all the mistakes and typos and the white odd, you know, just to see these kind of documents and then watch that flourish into the digital world that we live in, and the way that control, the way that the CGNA works now with its membership. It's all, you know, just top of the line, fully automated distributor capabilities. So.
Well, no, it was great, and it was very encouraging. One of the speakers there was Jim Young from RealCom Ibicon. Jim came out, and we've got that event coming up. So it was good to see that, because if you think about, I think the supply chain is shifting now. I mean, we're all being affected by companies like Amazon, and not just our industry, but every industry. And so, you know, when you look at how you go to market, I mean, distributors to me can become the key link, the most important link, okay? And if the distributors step up to the game. So the distributors have to think about how they create value, okay? If they're just thinking about the margins they're making or the product lines they have and are not focused on creating value for the user, Kenny, they're going to fall the way of the NFL. They'll probably still be around, but they could be easily bypassed. One of the trends we've been, talking about a lot on the show, Kenny, is the fact that we've all seen change before in our careers, but we've never seen change that's happening this rapidly. And because of that, and everybody is overworked, they don't have time to do a lot of research. So if the distributor becomes an informed, trusted resource, okay, they can perform a very, very valuable function. But to do that, you have to think differently. You cannot think zero game anymore. In other words, you've got to be willing to sell other brands. You've got to be willing to look at a customer and say, hey, I don't have the solution for you this time. Here's somebody who does. Because you've got to think about playing the long game, not just the next project, but the long game. And I think you can differentiate doing that because, again, some of these manufacturers, unfortunately, they're driven by Wall Street. They're trying to make earnings quarter to quarter, and that means they either got to sell more or they got to cut cost to get the numbers right for the quarterly earnings. And that's a tough game to play. But in doing that, you have to think shorter term as well as long term. But if you're an integrator or if you are a distributor, I think you have the ability to think longer term, maintain that relationship, be a valuable, trusted advisor. And to do that, you got to be informed and you got to go to things like RealCom Ibicon to really be up on the trends. And one of the big reasons, Kenny, is because that's where all the real estate folks are.
Yeah. And again, that's the lessons learned or the dissemination of technology and information and to become that trusted agent that works on behalf of your customers. In other words, we used to do a lot of selling, just literally over-the-counter selling, you know, like-for-like OEM replacements, aftermarket sales. And now what we're doing is we're customizing solutions. You know, we work with, the technologies that can provide the solutions using the least amount of components and delivering the most secure environments. And so we're seeing the operational technologies that we were pretty well masters of. You know, we knew how things turned off and on. We've watched the evolution of controls go through each generation, each phase, where you went from relays to, you know, digital controls to, you know, electronic versions. And then you had, you know, some fancier stuff. And then you had some software driven controllers. And then, you know, we're at the stage of the game now where a lot of things are Niagara frameworked or some sort of framework that takes over all the disparate systems and uses, you know, some sort of a normalization to bring the protocol wars over, you know, to make them go away and bring data to the forefront and either be processed at the edge or the cloud. So it's an amazing story. But some of the things you said were, you know, just again, to revisit that, we were operational technology and now we're aligned with information technology, IT. So we're seeing IT and OT merge, you know, and literally become IoT. And of course, that's not what that means. The Internet of Things is it means a lot of different things to different people. But essentially, you know, anything's got an IP address can now go right to the cloud. It doesn't need to be supported through field devices and supervisory devices and then go into a front end anymore. And so in order to tell somebody that's a chain of stores or church or a local school that's going to be mothballed in 7 years, I mean, we have technologies at our disposal and we're at that point, the transition points where now the technologies are coming at us so fast that we need somebody to sort it out and deliver solutions. And what's amazing about it is that 80% of the buildings out there still need this exact application, this exact trusted agent person. Now, a lot of people thought the contractors were going to get there first. And to your point, the contractors don't have, you know, they don't have the ability either. They need somebody to help reduce the amount of flow to the things that they need to make their businesses better and create more value. And that's where the distribution is coming in. That's where we are learning from the people like Jim Young, who tell us that, you know, America once was on the forefront, lagged behind and 40th in engineering now, but he sees some incredible buildings. In fact, he basically said that the most state-of-the-art, most energy-efficient, most smart connected buildings in the world are in America again. And that these examples need to be emulated, and we need to learn them. So what group of people in our industry is going to go and be able to learn and bring back that information to a local presence and apply it locally? Because that's what he said we have to do. We have to get around to learning what is the options and then bring those options back to wherever your point of business is, and from there disseminate that technology. So I tend to agree with what you said earlier, that, you know, the distribution channel is evolving to become that trusted advisory, that source of information that can link a master systems integrator who might be needed once in a blue moon into a local area where they've got a congestion of integration going on that nobody locally can handle. So right. We now become that conduit. We can get that person to the right place and solve
right. The problem. Right. So here's a thought, Kenny, and I completely agree with you. It's because you got to know this stuff, but there are a ton of people that know this stuff, right? But so I'm almost saying now what's important is not just what you know, but who you know, right? Because again, people are short for time. They're short for attention. That all these great technologies, you know what, I know what anybody out there knows, it is very difficult to get people to take the next step. I mean, because most of us, at least up to now, thank goodness, have been so busy taking care of an existing business, but that's going to cycle. It's a business cycle. It's going to go back down. And when it goes back down, I say you better have your plan in place to take that next phase. And I think that's going to create a huge, huge opportunity because, again, I don't think our competitors that are going to cold cock us are even people that we know of. I don't think, you know, in other words, I would tell Johnson, Honeywell, and Siemens, you don't need to worry about these other guys coming and taking you out. They'll be competitors. No, it's going to be somebody you've never heard of, right, from China or Silicon Valley or one of these smaller companies that's starting up, that's gaining momentum. That's who you have to be worried about. So I think there's an opportunity to survive this because there is going to be a shakeout, right? And I mean, I think, you know, we've been talking about the shakeout for the last 2 or 3 years. And I think for the first time, at Controls Group North America, everybody else is starting to go, yeah, man, it looks like there's going to be a shakeout here. You know, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? So I think knowing what you, so I think the rules are going to change. You still have to know stuff. You have to know a lot of stuff, but it's also who you know. So you have to manage your relationships. And my question, Kenny, is you and I have been to sales courses. We've been to all kinds of technical courses. You know, now we're living in a world of 142 characters. Most of the players come in, they, you know, they usually don't even pick up the phone and call people. Who teaches how to cultivate and nourish relationships? And where do you go to learn how to do that?
Well, that's another million-dollar question. I think, you know, to kind of summarize the CJNA people, the one interview you did with Chuck Nemeth was an amazing interview, because God bless him, he's close to 90 years old and he still goes around pretty chipper.
Yeah.
And you know, the amount of information that he shared with us, and that interview does it too. You know, so there's somebody that has literally watched that the evolution we're talking about and lived through it. You know, now we're probably, you know, we're on the baton pass, you know, maybe in a couple of years to the next group, but he still serves a very important role in that he said that you will survive, you will find a way. You know, back when they were going through their immediate threats and what they considered to be, you know, where they had somebody move to cheese and they had to move. Well, he's gone through probably four or five, you know, of those major paradigm shifts in our business. So to find out where you're going to learn how to sell this stuff, I don't know.
Well, not sell it.
Well, eventually,
people are going to sell, but I'm talking about nurturing your relationships, right?
Well,
I mean,
okay.
you guys do a great
job. I didn't mean sell. It was a poor choice of word. I did mean sell, like selling, I meant to tell the story. Let me go back to, so if I understood where you were coming from, is that the relationships you have with the people that need the materials or solutions that we have, they need some sort of ability to understand what their options are. So you need somebody that understands all the options, has the knowledge of the options, and then how you get the options into, you know, from a, you know, a concept into actual, you know, purchasing or ordering of materials that get
more simplistic. I think a lot of people can do that. I think you've got to do that. It's a bare bones minimum. But my question for you is, right now, how many people could you pick the phone up if a cure for whatever came in? How many people could you get a vendor in front of right now? My guess is a ton, because you play golf with them, you've got relationships, you've got people you can get access to. I do too. Most distributors do. Okay. But that's not from social media. We didn't develop this over social media. We did this over years of gaining trust and gaining rapport and nurturing those relationships and getting to know people. Now, that might change with this. The millennials might have a different way to do it, and they probably will. But my point being, we got all these great technologies, okay? But if you can't get in front of a customer to listen to it and take action on it, then it's all for naught. It's a little bit like my brother's definition of a consultant is somebody who knows nine main ways to make love to women but doesn't know any women. So I say distributors, their role, if they nurture it, is we know the women. We don't have to know the 900 ways to do it, because we've got the people coming to us. We're the conduit to get it out. I mean, we've all seen people that try to go direct and, you know, with limited success, right? Because it's based on who's local and who has those relationships. So what I'm saying is honing those, because the other thing that we have going on is we got a ton of people, and you have talked about this, they're looking, they got 3, 4, 5, 6 years tops. They're just holding on for dear life until they can retire, right? So they're not making any changes. They're staying with the status quo. But, you know, my deal with that is, I mean, I remember 2000, when all these people were getting ready to retire because they had all this money in the stock market, and the stock market crashed. They were left with nothing. They all had to go back and work. So my point being is, I don't think you can bet on hanging on status quo for 5 or 6 years and think you're going to ride out to the sunset with anything of value. Right. So I think you've got to adopt, I think, you know, 5 years ago, you could have done that. 10 years ago, 15, Chuck Nieman could have done that when he first got involved in the business, because things didn't change that rapidly. So, you know, if you're thinking I got five more years or six more years, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing because it ain't broke, don't fix it. I invite you to reconsider.
Well, sure. I kind of lost our thread there for a minute, because I understand where you're coming from now, and I agree. We talked about it too, the regional powers and the locus of control inside school districts and universities, the environment there, hospitals. The facility manager is king of the castle, so to speak. And in many cases, they are in their autumn stages of their careers. And even though the facility needs desperate attention to bring, you know, new technologies to bear and do it in incremental, you know, phases, they're not doing anything, because the last thing they want to do is have a heart attack or a stroke trying to put their careers at stake to implement a new system. So what they are going to do is they're going to find a way to eke out and minimize any major decisions and keep pushing and buffering the actual process.
I don't disagree with that. Could be. And my point is being the value we create for the vendors is who's got a better chance of getting in to even tell the story to that guy or girl who's just trying to eke it out, right? We do, because we have those relationships. Now, whether they adopt or not is a different story. And I think that just like everything else, I mean, universities, from what I'm understanding, are under a lot of fire too, just because all this online education, right?
Their enrollment's down, yeah.
Enrollment's down, their revenues are down. So they might be in the very near future faced with, the chancellor come along and say, hey, you got to cut costs. Why aren't we up to speed with this stuff? But again, I think it gets back to the point that I don't think wherever you are in this whole chain, you can afford to sit on the sidelines. I think you've got to go. And I think if you're going to go, then you've got to have somebody that's trusted, you have a relationship with, and get cycled all the way back around. I think this is where the distributor could be potentially one of the most valuable components in the stream, because your good systems integrators are, they're focused on getting the installation done, the master systems integrator and stuff like that. They really don't have time to come out and learn about this new technology that's coming in. They can rely on somebody like us to say, hey, here's the next thing, check it out. We can help support you, get you up to speed on. Same thing with the people you're talking about, like the universities and all. At some point in time, if they get the nudge, they're going to have to start looking at who are they going to, you're calling on them. Hey, Kenny, I know I told you I wasn't interested in making any changes, but they're asking me to save energy. How do we do it? Or they're asking us to get better occupancy experience. How do we do it?
Well, I'd have to agree with you. Because there's a part of me that was to resist and say human nature is not going to let you do that. Human nature.
I think human nature is going to get overridden.
I don't think so. Just because I can tell you from personal experience that the times that I've been in meetings here in probably the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, even this week, where I'm listening to people's thought processes, and the way money is being spent nowadays and the way budgets are being driven as of right now, 2018, the way that you used to be able to go get funds and write a bond or get monies has changed. And so the part of the evolution process I see and part of the relief to these people is to give them a solution that now also has the financial quirks and the financial objections and rejections already resolved too. In other words, so we're making this kind of complicated, at least it is for me, because in other words, in a real world that I live in, I know some of the exact people that are in the exact things we just described, and their comments back to me startle me that there is no progress on their horizon, because they can't justify the expense. They can't hire somebody to do work that they can't get to. So we're seeing a lot of frustrated examples of
where right.
We don't have any, we have the solutions, we have the technology. We don't have the internal champion at these organizational levels that can make the decisions pushing forward with technology. In fact, right. We see them kind of sleeping, going into the quiet mode, going into the don't raise your hand because it might get cut off mode. Because as you say this, I know for certain that there's every single organization that I've addressed, the only market that I've seen appreciable growth, or we've seen appreciable growth in, is in the health field, the medical providers, the urgent cares, the MedExpress, the hospitals are consolidating. We're seeing incredible consolidation going on, and then they want to utilize that space, so they're bringing a lot of the hospitals up to speed and some of those things. Right.
We're talking about two different things, I think, Kenny, because I think I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying, but the fact of the matter is the fact that they're telling you that and you're having those conversations. My point is being you're able to have those conversations no matter what they're saying. How many vendors and other people don't even get to hear that conversation firsthand? That's my only point. The distributors have the relationship. So whatever's going on, you know that firsthand. So if that tide changes or shifts, you will have the ability to be part of that conversation, where somebody that's on the outside with the trends we have is not going to get in the door to hear it.
Well, see, I agree. And then again, the shows we're talking about, for instance, we're seeing the really enlightened group of people that are going to these meetings, whether it's the Niagara Summit, and certainly the RealCom, IBCom, and certainly the SBIS, you know, those people and the boot camps that are going on with different things. In other words, I agree with what you're saying too. So I think I'm not floundering here, but I just don't know where I'm going to add something positive. Because I see myself digressing into another answer, and that is that the intelligent people that want to see their buildings go move forward and they have the initiative, they're going to these meetings and we're meeting them there. So we know, so we know that they exist and we know exactly what they want because they're very expressive. They tell us, don't try to sell me a square peg anymore. I don't want a square peg. I want this little cylindrical thing that goes this way and that way. Right. That's what I want. So we need now to listen to what they want. And they're bending. Our industry is now catering to these people. Instead of trying to sell something, make it and then sell it, we're now selling what needs to be made or selling what needs to be as part of a solution. So I agree. But you know, the thing about it is, I think in my assessment is that there's so much market out there that we don't have, we know needs. Work, and I know distribution will constantly and always play an important role in that. But the
that's where you and I might be disagreeing here. This is where I'm going to push back. But I think they can if they.
Well, they're not going to sell anything, and they're going to provide services. So my point is that the distributor is now going to be, as we know that there's 95% of this managed services is vaporware. Software, it's applications, and only 5% of it's hardware. We used to live 90% hardware, and 10% was on consulting or whatever, charging for non-material things, non-hardware, not products. And like we heard one of the major distributors say that he now 30% of his business is on services, applications, software. So that to me is indicative of the change we're seeing, the evolution. So we're not going to sell stuff. So the distribution's point, or purpose is no longer to be the guy that has it on the shelf, because these fulfillment centers are trying to knock each other out of the business, trying to be the ultimate fulfillment center, and they keep zeroing. They're not even making money. As far as I know, Amazon, did they ever post a profit? But yet they're selling more and more and growing bigger and bigger because they're running everybody into the ground with being able to out-fulfill everybody at a lower cost. And with two-day delivery, free shipping, with no hassle returns, because they dump it on everybody else to handle all those overhead, those negative externality costs. They just simply provide product immediately and fulfill a consumer's instant gratification for product. So what we're doing now is distributors, we're providing less product, more managed service in a combined solution that includes hardware and software.
Right.
In applications. So,
right.
And if so, that's what you were saying, I agree 100%.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. but I'm saying at the core of that is you manage your relationships with your folks, right? I mean, you have access to them, you manage them, you nurture those relationships, and that's where you can create value. And see, I think the other thing you're saying is, like you said, we're seeing the S-curve. We got the early adopters where you can go to RealCom and IBCon and find them, but that curve is going to go up. So the people that are now saying, no, I'm not interested, at some point in time, they're going to say, we got to get on this bus. And when they do that, if you're a distributor that is maintaining your relationships, you're going to have an ability to influence that conversation. That's what I'm saying.
I'm surrendering.
You can have the greatest ideas in the world, but if somebody's not out there explaining it or has a relationship to present it to somebody, then they don't really get to choose. So it's good stuff. I think that was great dialogue. And if you have any comments on that, we'd love to get you on the show to talk about it. But as Kenny and I on the upcoming shows, we're going to continue to get people on and talk about some of the trends and the things we're seeing that are changing. But one of the things I'm saying now, it's as equally as important as who you know as what you know.
So I think just going back to this, because I circled it when you wrote that down, is value. In other words, that the knowledge of who needs what, when and where, and what the condition of their facility is and whatever is a value that we provide to somebody, whether it's a vendor, manufacturer, or to that actual entity that needs. Okay, I would
champion. Yeah, no, absolutely. And it could be, your favorite term that you and Kenson Kerr coined, co-competition. I mean, so Honeywell's got to do something in a Johnson building. I'm just pulling an analogy out, and they need a Johnson integrator to go in there and work on. They want to use the Johnson branch. they could call the distributor because the distributor has those relationships. They can begin to put the pieces together. Other people can do it too. What I'm saying for a distributor provide, because I completely agree with you, I think, you know, selling the products, the hardware is going to go down because people like Amazon and the fulfillment systems are making that much less valuable. But what is going to be valuable is they come to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. First call you got to make is Ken and Dave Smyers, because they know how the town works. They know who the players are. If you want to get a product in, they can tell you who you need to go see, who are the consulting engineers. They can put the pieces together and make it happen. A vendor can't, I mean, some vendors can, but most can't. Most are, you know, got their salesperson spread out over a territory or region. So, but if the distributors are going to sit back and just want to take orders, yeah, I'm just going to take orders. Like, I'm not going to go out and make the market. They're probably not going to be around because they're going to get swallowed up by one of those fulfillment centers. So we're agreeing. We're talking about different sides of the same coin, I think. But that being said, Kenny, we have some big news. We have some really, really, really big news. Do you want to tell them?
Well, if we're talking about the 2018 Control Trends Awards,
that's what we're talking about.
Fox Theater in Atlanta. Yes. I was telling you, Atlanta's on the rise. I got a wonderful experience as we pursued our venue for the 2018 Control Trends Awards. It's going to be at the Fox Theater in Atlanta. It is a landmark. It is an incredible facility. It was built in the 1920s, and it was originally a Shriners Hall. And it was built under the, you know, when they tried to do the Egyptian and some of the real fancy architecture. So it's a beautiful facility. It's famous for, it had Mickey Mouse, the first release of Mickey Mouse was the first movie they showed, 1928, I believe. And so we have secured one of the top venues for the show, and we've got two great platinum sponsors that really help us, you know.
You came right on right at the beginning.
Very first week. So we want to thank Mike Marston and EZIO and Gary Weber and Belimo for coming on platinum sponsors at the very first opportunity. And so we know that we're going to get a good show together, and we know we've got a great venue. So it's downhill from here, right there?
It is downhill. Yeah, and I want to say another thing about thanking Gary and Mike and some of the other ones, because it's always Kenny and I have to take a big gulp because we, you know, this is not a for-profit type thing. We do these Control Trends Awards, and you know, it takes a lot of money to get these venues. So we go in, we sign an agreement. They make us put about $5,000 or $10,000 down, and then we sort of pull that out of our account, and then we hope like hell that we get sponsors. So it's kind of one of those leap before you look. So when Gary and Mike came on, you know, right off the bat, it takes a little bit of that pressure off of us. But it's going to be spectacular. The Fox Theater is it's right up the street from where all the main action is going to be with the AHR show. It's going to be very close. You'll be right out of the downtown congestion. You'll be out a little bit. It's a beautiful venue. We've got the Egyptian ballroom
right
booked. And when you talked about, I think it was more along the lines of the Masons and stuff like that. I mean, there's all kinds of Dan Brown stuff associated with the Fox Theater that we can't talk about or they'll come kill us. But it's going to be absolutely spectacular.
Yeah, it is. And there's parking is no problem. There's several parking, open parking areas, parking garages, but it's one of the accessible points. So you can spend anywhere from $5 to $30. But the great thing about it is that there's going to be plenty of parking, plenty of space. It's going to be entirely different from the venue that we had in Chicago, where we were kind of, you know, limited in terms of we're in a fishbowl there kind of thing, straight up a vertical thing. This is a laid out ballroom. So we're going to have just a very, very Southern style, almost a romantic, but it's evident in the air. When you see this, the beautiful environs of this place, it puts you in a mood that's kind of, you know, where we want to be in terms of that Hollywood moment that we offer the industry, where we get, you know, that one night where we celebrate. We're going to have some super opportunities, some photo ops. We're going to have some great, areas for networking, because they've got a fabulous balcony area and patio area that's going to be open for, and we're going to have a VIP guest area too. So it's going to be just a wonderful.
Yeah. I think the words that come to me, Kenny, when I think about the Fox, it's going to be magical. It's going to be a magical night. Very elegant. I mean, if you've ever seen the old movies, like with Clark Gable and all, where they're doing the premiere and they got the red carpet and they got the big marquee and all that. I mean, this theater's got that kind of character because they've had so many you know, openings like that and so on and so forth. It's just going to be almost like you're stepping back in time. It's going to be very, very elegant, very magical. It's going to be a special, special night as always. So a couple things with that. I mean, if you're interested in sponsorships, you can reach out to me or Kenny. Kenny will give you the email address in a second here. And then the other thing is we'll also be revisiting the categories every year. So if you have some ideas on categories you'd like to see, please send Kenny an email too, or us an email. And Kenny, give him that email address real quick if you would.
We'll do. It's controltrendscontact@gmail.com. So it's all one word, controltrendscontact. So I don't want to spell that out. controltrendscontact@gmail.com.
So it's plural, T-R-E-N-D-S.
Right, control trends, yes.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because, you know, we'll be revisiting any ideas you have on it. We endeavor, again, you know, it's a labor of love for Kenny and myself. Our aim here is to really give the great people in our industry this magical night. So if you have any ideas about entertainment, any ideas about categories, any ideas how we can do things better, just now's the time to let us know, because we're going to start putting the show together.
All righty. Well, Eric, so we completed the first post. Basically, again, hats off to Mike Sackett, Executive Director, Jim Heyman, Director of Business Development, and Sandy Minguez, who did all the hard work behind the curtains. And, you know, thank you to Chuck Neiman. And we have another, Bob Waite's going to be coming on in an interview in the near future. So thank you, guys, and great show. And we're looking forward to the fall meeting, which I guess is going to be held in one of the swank places in Iowa, right?
According to Jim Heyman, yeah. That'll be in Chicago. But yeah, Iowa would be, you know, I keep thinking of that movie Field of Dreams. You ever see that?
I sure did. Man. Build it and they will come, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a heck of a movie.
It was a heck of a movie. So yeah, we Kenny and I were traveling, so we didn't get a lot of posts up this week, but we did have a couple, Kenny.
We sure did. And one of the favorites just was absolutely hit. One of the hardest hit posts we put up in a while, and that was the Rethinking VAV Controllers, the Easy Way. And this was Jim Stiber of Control Consultants at the Manchester EZIO Global Conference. And I watched it again. And first of all, I just want to compliment Jim. He's truly a poised master, you know, in controls. He's one of the best in the business. Two, I want to commend, you know, the EZIO folks for coming up with this new breed of high-performance, freely programmable wireless Wi-Fi Sedona controller. And like Jim said, I mean, this is a really amazing device because it's so vertical. I mean, so it's so versatile. In other words, so you can use it for just about any of the markets out there, schools, retail, commercial buildings. So the cool thing is you can install it without any downtime because it's, you know, the installation is wireless, so it doesn't knock people out of their seats and climb up, you know, drop ceilings. And then also it'll do fan coils, air handling units, room standalone applications. And it does have the formidability of the PCT tool. So it's just an amazing product, and compliments to EZIO for well done.
Well, and while we're at it, a special shout out to Gina Elliott. For those of you who might not know, Gina moved over from Snyder Electric, and she's handling North American sales. And I guess not just sales, but the whole thing. Her and Brian Klein sort of completed that team. Gina is just... We have a lot of respect for Gina. Gina is one of the brightest women we know, or brightest people, I should say, one of the brightest people we know, and she's rocking and rolling. So EZIO, I think, has been sort of doing this, and I think they're getting ready to do the big ascension.
Well, to your point, Johan Chakalrod just put a post on LinkedIn that they're looking for an EZIO employee for the UK. In other words, you got North America shored up, as you mentioned, Gina Elliott and Brian Klein. So they're going to initiate, I think they're going to have a North American stronghold where instead of having the import, you know, bringing it in from Malaysia on the ship, they're going to have a North American delivery center or fulfillment center. And then they've got the same things probably planned for UK because they just put a post. If anybody's interested in the UK, Johan Chakalrod, the director of EZIO Europe, is looking for somebody to hire for the United Kingdom.
Salvador Dali, Mike Welch. I wonder if Salvador Dali is paying. He'd probably be a good fit, wouldn't he?
Oh, Mike, we saw Mike at the summit. He's rocking and rolling. They just bought his business out. Remember, he's working for another company now.
Salvador Dali, Mike Welch.
Yeah.
Shout he's doing real well. Salvador Dali, Mike Welch.
He's a
good guy for sure.
Alrighty. Next up, Eric, we had RealCom, IBCon's Commercial and Corporate Real Estate Cybersecurity. Be part of the industry's largest forum. This is just one of many posts that we will have that we've posted and will continue to post regarding the RealCom, IBCon show. They've got a golf outing now. I just saw something on that. That would be a lot of fun in Las Vegas. And then they've got some pre-con events. So you could actually spend from June 4th to June 8th fully engaged in this incredible event, RealCom, IBCon. But this here is a real serious nuts and bolts. This is the Real Estate Cyber Consortium, so the RECC. And the agenda is posted on our site, and it goes into great detail. And we just saw another post. I know Fred Gordy's going to be out there and some other of the top-notch cybersecurity experts. So everybody is very concerned. So, they talk about risk assessments for your facility, raising the bar around cybersecurity. And if you're a registered attendee for the RealCom IBCon, you're invited to attend the cybersecurity forum at no charge. So it's a don't miss event.
That's a good step. And what we like to say about the event in Las Vegas, the RealCom IBCon event, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. What you learn in Vegas, you get to bring home and make money off of. I call that a win-win.
There you go. All right, next up, Eric, we have Tritium University update. And the post, again, has a direct link because there's a lot of training going on. Tritium University is offering a wide variety of training courses across the world in the upcoming months. The award-winning instructors and certified trainer partners stand ready to help the global Niagara community innovate with Niagara solutions. Through July, you can find in-class training in the United States, United Kingdom, Germany, United Arab Emirates, Malaysia, China, India, Thailand, and Australia. So that's truly a global platform there. And that the instructors can host any of the classes at your location. You would have to, of course, contact Tritium in advance. And then virtual instructor-led training and always-on e-learning courses are provided as a cost-effective training delivery alternative.
Wow. Good for them. They're rocking and rolling, huh?
Yep.
Speaking of trainers, I guess we got a shout out to our friend Phil Zito. He is really doing well with the training, and I would say reach out to Phil if you want some training. But I think he's booked for the next millennial, right?
Well, Phil just sent us an update. He's registered his 2,300 students have registered with BAM, Building Automation Monthly.
Nice.
Phil just initiated a daily correspondence, and so he's doing very well, and we're very happy for Phil. It's a great opportunity to get into the building automation space. In other words, when you don't know how to begin, that's where you go. Go to Phil Zito's site. He has occasionally incentive deals, keep your eyes and ears open, but sign up for his site so that you know when the right time to buy is. Because he does offer end of quarter incentives, and I think he just announced a price increase. In other words, I think at the end of May, his prices are going to go up from whatever they are now, because he was saying that, supply and demand, he's got to make adjustments because he's got so many people trying to access his site and see, what he's got to train him on. And we do have a couple other shout outs. Why don't you start up the next post? Because we got to say congratulations to about five or six people that are celebrating birthdays or anniversaries.
Well, I want to do a quick shout out to really one of the great guys in the industry. I hadn't had a chance to post the interview with him yet. We ran into it at the Niagara Summit, but really, really great guy. You know him, I know him. He was with Siemens, and now he's moved over to Distech, Scott Hamilton. So special shout out to Scott Hamilton. Distech did well getting him. He is super, super good guy.
Oh, he sure is. You talk about a guy for as young as he is, he's already been through three different aspects of our industry. He's been through he was in lighting originally, and he went into electrical, the heavy duty stuff with Siemens.
Industrial, yeah.
And then he came over into the building space, and so he's got exposure in all three of them, and I think that was exactly what they were looking for when they had, Acuity buying Distech, they needed somebody that was familiar with all the above, because what they're truly trying to do is create that synergy, And just shout out to Yuji Maza. We haven't seen him for a while, but I see him on LinkedIn all the time. He's always busy. He's always saying hello, and he's always commenting on something that's going on with the technology. So
yeah, I miss Eugene. The Men in Black, for people don't know, Eugene and his team were DigiLogic. We used to see a lot of them before Acuity bought them out, and Eugene and his team were always the best dressed people in the industry. They always wore black. They were always cool. Always did good work. So Eugene, come on the show, man. We miss you. We want to see what the latest version of black, so Eugene's favorite show is Black is the New Black, right?
Yeah. Well, they were smart too. Those guys, I don't know. I know that. Well, when I was on top of what they were doing, they were writing algorithms that were outside of graphics. They were taking their brain, their trust to the next level. They weren't just doing real fancy. Remember how their big thing was data visualization and how data, we went through so many of their seminars, webinars, where they were saying how people can respond so quicker, or so much quicker and effectively to effective dashboards. So they see a color, they see red, they see alarm, it's trouble. Green, things are good. Blue, cooling. So we saw, and using their visualization tools and techniques, we learned a lot about how to create dashboards and the effective ones and the ones that weren't effective. And when you put too much information on a dashboard, people can't see what's going on. So now those guys are making things that study how things are utilized in hospitals and how Medicare and Medicaid is dispensed. They're putting together things that are, way outside the box, but they certainly can handle it.
Well, it kind of makes sense because they're also impeccably dressed that they would have a lot of visual acuity. So, anyway, Eugene, Dennis, man, give us a call, man. We'd love to be
here.
We got him on the show.
Okay. Well, we got a shout out to wish Steve Dodd a happy birthday. We've got congratulations to Jim Heiser for 4 years at Snyder Electric. Congratulating Donna Battle for 7 years at Tritium. Congratulating Barry Gordon for 24 years at Automation Components, Inc. 24 job, years.
Man. Wow, he didn't look that old.
So congratulations to Geoff Schwartz for his first year at Light Company, LLC. We have congratulations to Randy Bullock, 4 years at Control Systems as a specialist. And, this name's going to surprise you. Well, we got one more. Larry Stevens from Integrish LLC, and then Chip Cummings, 4 years at Control Co.
Well, Chip. Well, as a matter of fact, we've got a post with Chip up. We caught up with Control Co. and Chip at the Niagara Summit. So you can see that video on Control Trends. But I want to say a little bit about Chip, because Chip worked with us for a while. He started in the Navy. He was a nuclear subtech. Went to work for Johnson Controls and worked with us. And super nice guy, very knowledgeable guy, and it was just great to catch up with Chip. Wishing the best. He does a great job. I think if you look what Control Co. does, and we talked about the distributors earlier, they're making it easy for people to pick a solution, and they're really sort of focused on the network and the cybersecurity side of it, as you can see in the video we posted. And then when you start talking about not necessarily just what you know, but who you know. I mean, Stromquist in Atlanta is handling those products for Control Co., another distributor. So we're working with Control Co. to take care of our customers with some of the products that they handle. So great job by Chip, and wish him all the best. And we kind of go from there to, I think, ALC.
Right.
By the way, we're opening up our arms. Open your arms up, Kenny. Watching the video. Our arms are open. ALC, come on, big hug. We want you in our community. Come on, the Control Trends Awards are in Atlanta. I think the home office is based in Atlanta. But, with the Master Systems Integrator Program, every year they're ALC dealers. They get nominated. And ALC had their Growth Summit 2018. And want to say, we got a post of congratulations to their Partner of the Year. And you can read all about that on Control Trends. But reach out to your ALC people. Say, ALC, you need to be involved with Control Trends, because we'd love to have you in the community.
Well, I'll tell you, Atlanta, man, every time I turn around, it's Atlanta. It's the new Silicon Valley in the States. You got to be careful, Eric. Everybody who's coming to Atlanta is going to want a part of that gigantic pie you guys got down there. And then speaking of the people that are in Atlanta, you got ALC, but you got Acuity, you got Blue Ridge Technology. I mean, you got a whole lot of good, strong folks down there that are going to be.
Yeah, we do. We got one of the best consulting engineering firms, Newcomb and Boyd's here. Donnie Walker was tied for the Consulting Engineer of the Year award last year.
Co-winner, yeah.
We got McKinney's, the premier. I mean, just mechanical contractor, building automation contractor. There are a ton of them down here like that. And speaking of engineers, Richard Reed, if you know Richard Reed, he's in England. He was a co-winner of the Consulting Engineer of the Year award. Richard, I got your trophy on my desk. We'd love to have you come on this show. It's not hard. We can bring you in via Zoom. Please reach out to Kenny at Control Trends
contact
at gmail.com. We want to get you your trophy, but more importantly, we'd love to have you on the show. But sort of cycling back around, we're looking for a lot of support from Atlanta. I think we're getting a lot of new players coming into the Control Trends Awards this year. It's going to be a heck of a bash here in Atlanta. And that's awesome. What I got. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you say, ALC's, what's that? Is that what you got? I missed that point.
I didn't say anything. You kind of zoomed out for a minute.
I did?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's kind of like when we were in California, everything got fuzzy for a minute, but now it's clear again. So keep going.
All righty. Well, is that a good sign or a bad sign? Technology or consumption?
All right. So, man, Kenny, I tell you what, Mother's Day, we better start taking care of our moms. So with that, we thank our community for tuning in. Remember, be bold, stay in control, stay relevant, and kiss a mom.
About to leave.
Already packed.
Indeed, Eric. Kenny Smart. We'll see you guys next time.
We'll get away to a place where we don't know. About to see the world in action. What we can be. Life with no distractions. We'll get away. This is what we waited for.